and welcome once again to the Nutmeg Podcast, tackling the big investment and personal finance topics that can help inspire you to feel financially confident, investment savvy, and empowered to reach your goals. I'm Gary Shepherd from Nutmeg, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Holly Graham, financial planner, also at Nutmeg. In this episode, we're going to talk all things retirement. Now, whether you're midway through your working life and maximizing your contributions to a workplace pension, or starting to wind down now to your latter years, or even if you're young enough to have never even thought about it, retirement remains a hugely relevant topic. So no, don't switch off if you're young enough that retirement seems decades away. The sooner you start to think and plan for it, the earlier you may be able to finish work altogether, perhaps even sooner than you previously imagined. Holly, welcome to the studio.
Hi, Gary.
Great. Thanks for coming in, and thank you for offering to share your expertise on such an important topic, something perhaps us Brits have historically shied away from talking about, maybe.
Yeah, very true. And I absolutely love talking about retirement, so you've asked the right person to join today. I can certainly see why we can shy away from discussing retirement in general, and also what we're doing to save towards retirement. And that's because both of those come with a lot of uncertainty. We can't predict or control how long we're going to live for, and, you know, can't control markets and how they're likely to perform. Generally, as we plod along through life, retirement is always in the backs of our minds, even if sometimes it's not necessarily the reason why we begin saving or investing in the first place. Full disclosure, as much as I love talking about retirement at work, the topic of planning for retirement isn't usually the top of the list that my friends and I talk about.
Really?
Yeah, but maybe we should. But I'm glad that today, you know, we both have the opportunity to outline the most important points that people should consider when thinking about pension provision, whatever their age or circumstances right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. I mean, there's certainly plenty of differing ways of thinking about retirement. As a real extreme example, there is the FIRE movement. I don't know if you've heard of this. You probably have. The acronym being shorthand for Financial Independence Retire Early. This is a program of saving and investing to the extreme at a younger age. The idea being that you can possibly retire at a far younger age than the traditional downing of tools in your 50s and 60s. So could you really retire in your 40s or even your 30s? Seems unlikely. There's plenty of sacrifices to be made. Proponents of the FIRE method have been known to put away at least half and possibly three quarters of their monthly salary.
Oof, that's quite a lot. So yeah, the idea of retiring in your 30s seems really optimistic, even for me, and I'm a financial planner. That's not to say it's not possible, but for most people, especially with today's cost of living, will be quite unachievable to put away, you know, a significant amount of their income. For a lot of people, it's all about balance, you know, enjoying your life now and putting away money to enjoy life later. When you are younger, you have time and health on your side. You don't want to sacrifice each year of your youth for a stage of life that's not guaranteed. We do have some clients who might consider the FIRE approach, but on the other hand, I speak to some people who struggle to even set an age to retire. They generally love working, they love what they do, and they say that they'd be bored with all that free time. I think most people are just looking for clear guidance on how and where to invest their money so that they can then have the option of being able to have a comfortable retirement in the years or decades to come, you know, whenever that may be, it's going to be at their choosing. So I think for most people, a workplace pension or other personal pensions will be the primary investment product for retirement and therefore used to provide an additional source of income alongside the new state pension, which is just over £200 a week at the moment. However, these types of products, so pensions, you can't necessarily access until you're in your mid to late 50s. Right. And, you know, the state pension age right now is 67. Therefore, if you are planning to retire early, you know, FIRE method, retire in your 30s, you will need to have a think about other types of investment products. But we'll touch upon this a bit later as well. So if retirement is really hard to imagine, some people may even work with a financial planner. So their job is to understand the life that you'd like to achieve and what is realistic, and then help with a few projections in maybe cash flow modelling software, for instance, and then build a financial plan that you can stick to.
Okay. So maybe workplace pensions are a good place to start the conversation?
Yeah. Yeah. Workplace pensions are more often than not the first port of call for those investing for retirement, given that they are a requirement for most employers to offer one. They're also quite low maintenance for people to manage because contributions are generally taken from your salary before you're paid. And most employers have set up a default investment strategy for their employees. On this, I would say it's good to have a look at what your default investment strategy is. Just make sure that it aligns to your preferences and time horizons, because you know default options are usually one size fits all, and you want to make sure that your pension is working for you. Whilst you do have to wait in most cases until your mid to late 50s to access the money from a workplace pension, they are beneficial as they offer tax and national insurance savings for both the employer and the individual throughout your working life. Secondly, most employers can match your contribution. So if you can afford to take advantage of matching contributions, it could boost your pension savings even more if it's affordable to do so.
Thanks, Holly. Pensions clearly offer many benefits, but before we kick off looking at the steps involved in our pensions health check, do you think perhaps that, it's something that has come up, do you think education around investing for your retirement is perhaps lacking in this country?
Yeah, I would say so, for multiple generations. But I think the retiring generation now are quite pension heavy and they're used to pensions being seen as a regular income once they cease work rather than them being a long-term investment. We'll touch upon how pension freedoms possibly has impacted this, but it could also be with familiarity from guaranteed regular income sources like the state pension or workplace defined benefit schemes. Just to briefly explain, defined benefit pensions are essentially an employer promise to pay a guaranteed income at a set retirement age. The amount that's paid is determined by how long you've been working for the employer, an accrual rate, and the salary you've earned during that time.
Right.
They are quite rare in the private sector nowadays. However, we see them quite a lot in the public sector. Now, I touched upon this earlier, but since the introduction of pension freedoms in 2015, the potential uses of a defined contribution pension have become far more broad, with the mandatory requirement to annuitise before age 75 being abolished a few years before that.
Okay, so you mentioned the big changes that came in 2015. Mm-hmm. Can you perhaps just give us a clearer picture of how the pensions landscape looked before these changes came in?
Yeah, certainly. So prior to the introduction of pension freedoms, there wasn't really a great deal of choice for people when they retired. So outside of traditional workplace pensions, some of which were very generous, personal pension pots were almost always used to buy an annuity. So an annuity, in brief, is an insurance product that provides a guaranteed income for life. The income you can get from an annuity varied quite drastically because they take into consideration many factors, the largest one being your pot size, but other factors such as health, postcode, indexation, frequency of payment, etc. But there were a few exceptions to mandatory annuitisation, but it required people to demonstrate a certain level of income and a few other factors. The lack of choice arguably meant people didn't really need to engage with their pensions or retirement planning. It was quite simple. You know, you add money to a pot while you're working and then you trade it in for an income when you retire. It sounds simple, so you might be wondering why freedoms were introduced in the first place. But in short, annuities weren't always seen to provide a particularly good value for money. And, you know, we could probably do a whole other podcast on the merits of either side of this debate, but they definitely didn't allow choice. So pension freedoms were designed to give consumers far greater choice.
Right.
Anyway, the legislation might have changed, but there hasn't really been a significant shift in the mindset or the thinking about behind pensions. Because, you know, I do get asked quite often, how much will my pension give me each year? With many pension holders still being focused on receiving a regular income to replace their salary. Whereas these types of pensions, and I'm referring to defined contribution pensions, which are personal pensions, self-invested personal pensions, which are, you know, shortened to SIPs, these should be looked at as an investment rather than just a source of income. They can give you greater choice to be flexible with your expenditure in retirement, with potential to leave a lump sum to your loved ones if you pass away. Now, these pensions do require a strategy and ongoing management, not just before you retire, but all throughout retirement too. And this is because we could easily spend a third of our life in retirement, which sounds quite significant, but sure. You know, if you think about it, if you retire at 60 and live until you're 90, that's the reality. So investing and managing your pension well could be the difference between a relaxed or a regretful retirement.
Indeed. I thinking about retirement can be daunting. It certainly is for me. You know, either it's too far away or it's just around the corner, and many of us perhaps don't quite want to face that reality. So with that in mind, Holly, what might be the first steps to planning your financial future?
Yeah, just get started. Procrastination, you know, could easily be the difference between the life you want and the life you actually achieve. Therefore, you know, it's never too late or early to work on your plan. And not everyone needs to pay for a financial advisor just to get started. So the easiest place to start is to take stock and understand where you are right now. What wealth have you accumulated? Where is it? What is it invested in? What charges are you paying? Are you making any regular contributions? You can then begin to make necessary changes and streamline if needed.
Sure, though I guess this sometimes can be easier said than done, especially if you have old workplace pensions with previous employers. I know I do. I've probably got about 5 or 6, I think, now. So I'm not entirely sure where they are. I mean, obviously, you have to dig out some old paperwork, contact your old employers, or actually, there is a government pension tracing service which can help. And we'll put a link to the website in the description of this podcast. Still, I guess if you put the effort in, there's plenty of benefits to pension consolidation, right?
Yeah, definitely. And that could be the next step. Consolidating your pensions into one place could lower your overall charges. Most places tend to offer a tiered fee charging structure. So the more you have there, the lower your sort of overall fee. And with one pot as well, you can generally take greater control of your investment risk and preferences, as well as benefit from compounding. So the power of compounding is discussed in a recent blog on the Nutmeganomics page of the Nutmeg website. But in short, as you contribute more and benefit from potential returns on these contributions each year, it can snowball in helping your pot to grow more. Right. Pension consolidation also makes ongoing management easier. You have one statement, one login. However, have to stress it is important to check the benefits of any pension you have before transferring them, because benefits can be lost on transfer, especially if you have sort of older workplace pension schemes.
And what about current workplace pensions?
Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier, if you're employed, you may want to take advantage of employer contributions. Most companies will either match or better an employee's contribution to their pension. So, you know, it can pay to maximise your contributions if you can afford to. And if you work for a big company, your employer may have negotiated a discount on the management fee of the pension too. So it's just worthwhile checking and understanding the pension that you do have.
Right. I mean, for workplace pensions, sometimes your options are restricted as to where you can invest. You may need to talk to whoever administers the scheme to make changes and look at your options. If you also have a personal pension, then I think you can have wider choices, though this depends on which provider you choose. The Nutmeg Pension, for example, offers a selection of risk-rated managed portfolios which access exchange-traded funds that invest in global equity and bond markets.
Yeah, that's right. It can be a bit overwhelming looking at all of the choices of investments you have in a SIP or a personal pension. It doesn't hurt to book a call with the pension provider of choice, as they can typically provide you with free guidance to help you understand the investments a bit more so that you can make your own informed choice. A good place to start is understand your timescale. You know, are you investing for several years, several decades? And then have a think about your own attitude to risk. You know, are you naturally cautious? Are you a bit adventurous? These things are quite essential to think about for anyone whose next step is to consider investing either via a pension or another savings vehicle. It's also important to consider how involved you'd like to be with managing your own investments. Many people don't have the time to manage their own money. They've got, you know, a full-time job, they've got kids, they've got their own social life, which is why they choose investments managed by professionals via a fund, for instance. Another reason for choosing someone else to manage your money is because, as humans,
we are guilty of emotional bias, and this can lead to sort of impulse reactions to short-term movement in markets, rather than looking and thinking long-term, which is essential for investing via a pension. And also, you know, most portfolio managers as well, they use a variety of diversification techniques to manage volatility and potentially maximise returns. And most offer a range of portfolios catered to a variety of time horizons and risk levels. It's worth remembering too that your risk level is likely to change during the course of your investment. You may be happy to accept a bit more volatility at a younger age because you've got decades to go, while becoming perhaps slightly more risk averse in the final years before you give up work. This, as well as where seeking advice could be quite useful to you.
Interesting stuff. So Holly, in your experience, what would you say is perhaps the biggest mistake that investors make when planning for their retirement?
Not necessarily the biggest, but I would say a common mistake in the accumulation phase of investing for retirement, accumulation being contributing to and building up your pot, is being a bit too conservative too early on. So this is both with the level of risk, but also contributions. We forget that what we contribute does the heavy lifting, rather than expecting unrealistic returns on that money. Now, on the risk side of things, we understand that people have very different attitudes to risks. And if losing money in the short term makes you feel very nervous, then maybe, you know, investment is not right for you. However, if you are investing for the long term over the course of several decades, then taking more risk with your investments early on in your investment journey could often lead to better outcomes. Just a quick caveat, we wouldn't recommend going with anything outside of your comfort zone or anything particularly complex unless you are an expert. What I'm saying is just to recognise, for example, that equities can potentially offer stronger, longer term growth potential, while bonds can be less volatile and offer more stability. So if you are a long time away from accessing the investment, you might not need bonds in that portfolio at this very moment. They can be introduced later on when you need volatility to be lower, perhaps.
Right. Anything else we should be aware of, where I'm thinking individuals might actually be caught out in their retirement planning?
Yeah. So this, you know, if you've ever had a call with me, this is something I preach all the time. But I would say to consider your wider financial health. Don't just focus on pensions. Those who retire well will have likely accumulated a combination of other assets over that lifetime. For instance, saving and investing into an ISA can be very tax efficient, particularly for high earners and those who've already maximised their annual allowance. Solely focusing on pensions could leave you potentially vulnerable to legislative and income tax changes. This is because after you've fully accessed your available tax-free cash, you then have to manage any further pension withdrawals within the tax bands. Secondly, the state pension kicks in a bit later on, and that's paid gross and uses up your personal allowance first, therefore will have an impact on any pension income withdrawals that you have.
Right.
So in short, retirement planning is not binary. It's not all or nothing, not just a pension. Well-placed retirees have often used a range of products to facilitate a comfortable retirement, and they take advantage of the tax-efficient products. So this could be, say, a combination of pensions, ISAs, general investment accounts, investment bonds, and possibly property. However, most people may just need a combination of cash, a pension, and an ISA, for instance.
Okay, well, I mean, tax is not necessarily the most interesting topics, but I think we should maybe explore this issue of tax efficiency in some more detail. Just so it's clear to our listeners who aren't familiar with pension tax relief, how exactly does this work, Holly?
Yeah, okay. I'll give a quick recap. So for individuals, if they make a personal pension contribution, so making a contribution from their bank account, basic rate tax relief is given to the contribution and added to the pension pot. You've probably seen in places that you get 25% added as a bonus, which technically that calculation is correct, but it's not what actually happens. So I said basic rate tax relief. Basic rate tax in England and Wales is currently 20%. You are being given relief rather than receiving a bonus, meaning that you pay 20% less. So a simple way of calculating this is to divide the figure that you plan to make by 80%. For example, an £8,000 contribution divided by 0.8 will give you £10,000 gross contribution. That's an additional £2,000. Then higher and additional rate taxpayers can claim further tax relief by completing a self-assessment. What HMRC then do is they extend your tax band by the gross contribution. So for this tax year, the higher rate band starts at £50,270. If we use the earlier example of a gross contribution of £10,000, the higher rate band will now start at £60,270. HMRC make the change by adjusting your tax code. You therefore pay less tax at 40% and more at 20%, giving you back the additional 20% tax relief. So there is a cap, and this is known as the annual allowance, and this is the tax-efficient cap to your pension contributions. For this tax year, it's currently £60,000 or 100% of your UK relevant earnings, whichever is lower. So individuals as well who have higher earnings, so say above £260,000, will have to do a few calculations just to check if their annual allowance will be tapered. And also note that the annual allowance could change once you start withdrawing income from your pension.
Okay, so we've looked at the need to educate the wider public about the benefits of pensions. We looked at different kinds of pensions, why it might be useful to consolidate your pots, the tax considerations, as well as some pitfalls to avoid. And you've been fantastic, Holly. But let's say you've set yourself a successful plan, built up your pension pot, and have reached an age where retirement becomes an option for you. What's the next steps in terms of actually drawing from this pot, and how does retirement actually impact our financial lives? Big question.
Yeah, very big. What I would say is that retirement can be a bigger change in mindset than we might think. You know, we do spend the bulk of our lives working and growing our wealth. And it is quite a hard shift to switch from saving all of your earnings to then going ahead and spending them. And it can be really tough to see balances go down. But that's exactly what you've built the funds for. So just to help with that, when budgeting for the first few years of retirement, it's important to have these in adequate cash reserves. These are typically known as an emergency fund. And then with your wider investments as well, you don't necessarily need to drastically switch them all to a super conservative investment. We spoke about this earlier, but retirement lasts many decades, and therefore plans should be structured to last for that period, as well as considering shorter term income needs. For those unsure about how this could work, financial advice could be really beneficial.
Yeah, sure. Speaking to an expert is really worth your consideration. Holly, what about the options for withdrawing from your pension?
Yeah, of course. I think the important thing to note here is how flexible you can be with your pension. Once you reach normal minimum retirement age, which is currently age 55, but increases to 57 in 2028, you have choice. You don't have to take action on your pension. You can leave it alone. But when you are ready, you can take what you need from the pension, and how this, how this happens, it can and be done in many forms. So, you know, let's start with the option most people are familiar with, tax-free cash. So this could be 25% of the pension. It doesn't necessarily have to be taken all in one go. It could be drawn out gradually alongside some taxable income as well. If you'd like to continue to have control of your pension and just take what you need when you need it, then you can facilitate this by using pension income options known as drawdown or uncrystallized funds pension lump sum, which is shortened to UFPLUS. For those who require a guaranteed income, then there's the option of purchasing an annuity, which we spoke about earlier, but just as a quick recap, it's a contract with an insurance company who guarantee you a fixed income for the rest of your life in return for the lump sum that your pension offers. Lastly, if you can afford it, you may actually prefer to leave your pension invested and pass it on to the next generation. Whilst not necessarily a light subject to cover, in the event of a person's death, their defined contribution pension sits outside of their estate, meaning that they can pass it on to loved ones without losing 40% to inheritance tax. Secondly, if they pass away before age 75, the beneficiaries can then withdraw it without the consideration for income tax.
And I guess a reassessment of your tax situation also comes into play at retirement, right?
Yeah, that's right. People might not be familiar with how pension income is actually processed, but it's processed via the pay-as-you-earn system, with HMRC providing the tax code to the pension administrator during processing. This means that pension income is subject to your marginal rate of income tax on the amount you draw down in that tax year. So if you're in receipt of other forms of income, it's really important to consider this before requesting a pension income withdrawal, or to remember to gross up the value that you need in order to receive the correct net figure. This is why I stated earlier that having other options, such as ISAs in retirement, gives you greater flexibility. Your spending over retirement as well is probably likely to change too. Many people prefer to spend a bit more at the beginning. You know, it's exciting. You've just retired, going on a lot more holidays. And then perhaps you're, you know, anticipating more modest spending later on as you become less mobile. And then after this, there's the consideration for possible care costs towards later life. So this is actually referred to as the retirement smile in expenditure.
Okay. Thank you, Holly. I think we've covered a lot in a very short time. I've certainly learned a lot about all the details involved, and you know, this is certainly an action point for me to start thinking a bit more about my retirement. However, rather than end the podcast talking about people's later lives, I think it's a good time now to remind any of our listeners to take action now if they can, and really get to grips with their retirement planning. Rewinding somewhat to an earlier point, I think now is as good time as any for people of any age to look at what pensions provisions they have, and whether or not you're on track to reach the retirement you actually really want.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so have a look at where are your pensions, your former workplace pensions, your personal pensions. Just keep on top of them. Know what they're invested in, the risk levels, the charges that you're paying, and don't forget about ISAs. I guess that's the key message for our listeners.
That's great, Holly. We'll end the conversation there, but listeners may want to know there's a wealth of resources on all these topics available for free on the Nutmeg website. Holly and her colleagues are also available to give restricted financial guidance or pay for financial advice if you do require any extra help. Again, full details can be found at nutmeg.com. Thank you, Holly, for taking the time to join us today. It's been really great having you in the studio. And thank you for choosing to listen in. If you like what you hear, please do share and subscribe. And feel free to contact us via the Nutmeg social media channels with any ideas or themes you'd like us to talk about in a future episode. Until next time, thank you all for listening.
Topics discussed in this podcast are for informational purposes only and should not be relied on for financial advice. As with all investing, your capital is at risk. The value of your portfolio with Nutmeg can go down as well as up, and you may get back less than you invest. A pension may not be right for everyone, and tax rules may change in the future. Please note that during any transfer, your investments will be out of the market. If you are unsure if a pension is right for you, please seek financial advice.